Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
Well, good morning. Are you alive and awake this morning? Who had their coffee? Who had their coffee? Who did what you needed to do to get up and get around? Who was at night of worship last night? How awesome was that? And so I'll just be honest with you. After I got done drumming for that whole thing, I literally felt like I just ran a marathon. So I woke up I slept hard. I woke up this morning like, what day is it? What millennium is it? You know, I had no idea. So I'm excited to be here with you this morning. It's always such an honor to share with you. And so we're going to start today in the Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 19. You can turn your Bible on, flip there with your physical Bible, whatever works for you. While we're doing that, we're going to welcome everyone that's watching us online. We are so excited that you're joining us, that you're tuning in, that you're listening. So everyone, put your hands together. Round of applause for them. We love you. I don't know if you know this, but we have all kinds of people all over the world that listen to our podcast, that watch our videos. So this the ministry that happens here at this church that you're a part of is much bigger than 200 people in this service. And so I want to encourage you that we're doing something together that's making a massive difference. And so I couldn't continue on without honoring Pastor Tim. I love you. I'm so thankful for your mentorship in my life and all that you've done for me, man. And so love you. And so, a quick introduction. My name is Zach Vaught, and I am the student pastor here at Higher Ridge Church. And I have some of the best students in the whole world. They may be bad for you at home, but they're great for me. I don't know how that works. But when they come and we hang out, we have a good time. And I have a beautiful wife, Taylor. We've been married for 4 years, and we have a little boy and a little girl that are so, so precious. And they are ornery, but oh, they're just so cute. You just can't help but love them, you know, and they're just great kids. And I have an incredible life. I love what I get to do every single day. But I'll be the first to say that raising people up, like raising up kids, raising up employees, raising people up underneath you is really hard, right? Where are my parents sat in the room? Them dadgum kids. I'm telling you, it's so hard, right? Like, being a parent is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. And so I was getting ready for this message, and I found this one joke, and it was this guy, and he was talking. He said, so my son asked me what it's like to be a parent. And so I interrupted him every single time he tried to talk for the next hour until he broke down in tears. And so it's like, that is a great, yes, that's it, right? There's this other comedian that I love, and he's got a big family. And if you didn't know it, we have a lot of big families in this church. And with 5, 6, 8, 10, 27, no, I'm just playing. There's no one here with 27 kids. That would be really weird. But tons of kids in these families in this church. And this comedian I love, he actually has a family of 6 kids. And after he had his 4th, this guy came up to me, he's like, man, what is it like having 4 kids? And this comedian, he said, okay, imagine that you're drowning and then somebody hands you a baby. Like, that's what it's like having 4 kids. And so, but raising people up, it is not easy. It is not easy raising kids. It is not easy training employees. It's not easy mentoring somebody that's a knucklehead. Like, and we're all knuckleheads, right? Like someone did it for us, and we're trying to do it for our kids and our grandkids, and it just isn't easy. And you know, there's this joke in church circles that says, you know, this whole church thing would be a lot easier if it didn't include all these people, right? Like, if I didn't have to deal with all you messed up people, right? That's like what pastors think, what they say. But let me just say this. It's what we're called to do. It's what Jesus has called us to do. It's not what he's called me, who's standing up on this platform, to do, or Pastor Tim. It's what he's called you to do, to raise someone up. And so today I want to spend time talking about what it actually takes in order to connect with and raise up people that are coming behind you. And I'm also going to spend some time speaking to those of you that are in a season that you're ready to be raised up. For my young people, for my baby Christians, those of you that made a decision for Christ recently, there's a lot to learn, right? And so how do I position myself in a way to get all that God has for me? And so before we dive into scripture, I want to kind of just talk a little bit about the fact that we have a lot of tension between generations right now. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we got parents and grandparents. These kids don't know how to do nothing but sit on their phone all day long, right? Like they're glued to technology. They're apathetic. They don't care about nothing. And then we have the kids that are like, well, you're just negative and grouchy, bro. You know, like, chill out. Like, and so what we have is we have an older generation that has their heart closed to really love the people, the young people where they are. And then we have young people that have a closed heart to listen. And so the goal of this message today is to kind of help bridge that gap to where we can open our hearts up and we can love the people that want to pour into us and so that we can pour into somebody else. Amen. And so today we're going to talk about standing up so you can pass it down. And so we're going to start in 1 Kings 19, and hopefully you've turned there. If you haven't, we got it up on the screen for you guys. So 1 Kings 19:19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Snapchat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his mantle around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. And so what's happened here before we move on to the rest of scripture is that Elijah was a prophet. He delivered the word of God to the people at the time. And God told him, hey, you're going to go find this young man named Elisha, and I want you to raise him up after you. He's going to take your mantle. And so that's what's happening right here. And so he says, hey, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. Now listen to this. I love this. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. You're like, why would you love that? That's really weird. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So what we have here is this is their very first encounter. This is the very first time that they meet. And I love the state that we find Elisha in. So just real quick, I'm going to say Elijah and Elisha a lot. It's going to get confusing. Elijah is the teacher. Yeah. And Elisha is the student. Okay. And so, but I love that we find Elisha, the student, working. He's working. He either worked to get the oxen and the equipment, or somebody gave it to him, but he's doing the absolute best he can with what he's been given. And there's too many young people, too many baby Christians that we don't see the fact that we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We have all these things. We have the church that God has given us, and we're just twiddling our thumbs waiting on someone to come rescue us. When Jesus would say, no, I've already given you the tools that you need to get busy. I've already given you the tools that you need to go do something to make a difference. And so, also, we don't know that God spoke to Elisha, the student, at all. The Bible tells us that he told Elijah to go find Elisha, but we don't know that Elisha got a word from God. And so we see that Elijah is being just obedient to God. And so I want to spend today talking about this relationship between these two guys and the mantle that was thrown over Elisha's shoulder. So I'm going to ask you three questions today, and you can write these down in your notes. The first question I want to ask you is this: what mantle are you carrying? What mantle are you carrying? Because let me just tell you, every single one of us in this room, we're carrying something. You're carrying something. What makes up the life, the testimony, and the inheritance that you're going to pass along? You know, some of us, we didn't get a good inheritance. We inherited alcoholism. We inherited violence, drug addiction, pornography addiction. Maybe you saw your parents walk through adultery and divorce. Maybe you didn't have parents. Maybe that's your story. Some of us lucked out a little bit more. We got a good inheritance. We learned to love God. We learned how to honor our spouse. We learned how to raise children that love the Lord. But make no mistake about it, I'm not here today to ask you, what did you get? I'm here today to ask you, what are you going to give? What are you going to give? Because you're going to give something. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, you're going to do something. And so Proverbs 13:22 says this. It says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. I want to speak to every single person in the room. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. The question is this: what will be your legacy? What's going to be your legacy? You know, Elijah, he was an incredible man of God. And if you read in 1 Kings, starting around like chapter 17, and I encourage you to go do that. It's so good, just the story of Elijah. But he was an incredible man of God. He was courageous. He was powerful. He was full of faith. But you wouldn't know it by the scripture that I'm about to read you. So we're going to turn to 1 Kings 19:3. And so in this passage of scripture, Elijah just heard that the queen at the time wants to kill him. And it says that when Elijah heard this, he was afraid and ran for his life. I don't blame you, dude. Taking his servant with him. When they came to Beersheba in Judah, Elijah left his servant there. Then Elijah walked for a whole day into the desert. You notice when he got afraid, he isolated himself. It says he sat down under a bush and asked to die. "I've had enough, Lord," he prayed. "Let me die. I'm no better than my ancestors." So like before this, Elijah had performed miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, big stuff. Like he prays and calls fire down from heaven. Like big miracles. Like, whoa, miracles. And he had seen God move over and over and over and over and over again in his life. And he had walked in authority. Like when it came to like spirituality and having it all together, I mean, this dude had it all together. He heard the voice of God and he was obedient and God always moved. Right? And so, but you wouldn't know that by this low point in his life. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you look at your life and you'd say, you know what? I am no better than my ancestors. You know, maybe someone's been telling you your whole life, you know what? You're just like your daddy. You're just like your mama. Maybe it was them. Maybe they're saying, you know what? You're just like me. This is just in your blood. This is just the battle that we're going to face together. This is just the way that things are. And the problem is that you believed it. That's the problem. And you've gotten to the point where you just say, you know what? This is just who I am. This is just my personality. You know, in scripture, it tells us right after this that after he threw his pity party to God, it says he laid down and he fell asleep. An angel came to him and told him, "Get up and eat. If you don't, the journey will be too hard for you." It also says that Elijah saw near his head a loaf baked over coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank. I love this because this is another miracle that God does for him. He didn't make it. He was asleep. He wakes up and he sees what he needs right in front of him. And if you could hear the voice of the Lord today, he would tell you to do the same thing. The journey's long. You need to eat and drink. But you need to eat and drink of what God provides, not of what you had in the past, not of what you would want in the future. What is God providing? What is God laying in front of you? Because what we tend to do is we tend to look at what we don't have. We tend to think, oh, well, he just had it better than me. She just had it better than me. No wonder they're where they are. Well, of course, I've had it rougher. But God gives us what we need when we need it, even if we can't see it. And so write this down. Life will always be too much. That's why we need God. It'll always be too much. You are not talented, beautiful, handsome, incredible enough that you don't need God. Life will always be too much. It will punch you square in the mouth. And we need God. Without it, we're going to fall. We're going to struggle. After this, Elijah spends time with God. He builds his faith back up, and he actually goes right back to the very place that he just left to fulfill the calling that God put on his life. You know, and Elijah's biggest anxiety was what another person thought about him, what another person was thinking that she wanted to do. And we're the same way a lot of time. Often our greatest anxieties come from our fear of what people have to say. But here's the point. Don't ever let what someone else says about you have more authority than what God says about you. Hear me today. God says something about you that you are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter. I have great plans for you. It doesn't matter where you've come from or what you think the future holds. I hold the future. That's what God would say to you today. And so, do you know what allowed him to have his breakthrough and fulfill his potential and his calling? Is he eventually stopped listening to his fears and he started listening to God. And let me tell you today, friend, don't just tell God about your fears. It's time to start telling your fears about your God. It's time to you know, sometimes we paint this Christianity thing as like this just soft and gentle and, you know, turn the other cheek. And Jesus did that. But let me just tell you this, that we're in a very real war. And that God has given us power and authority to speak straight to the face of the devil, speak straight to our past, speak straight to the things that have hurt us, and said, you know what? I'm not going to live basing my life around my fears anymore. I'm going to live my life, focus on what God has for me. And so let me just talk to my fears for a second. I don't have room for you. I don't have time for you. God has great plans for me. And when you get to really know God, when you get to really hear his voice, that's what begins to happen. You notice that Elijah, the whole time, it never says that Elijah was listening to God while he was running. But he slowed down enough where God could speak. It's when we get close to the voice of the Lord that our fears lose all their weight. They lose all their authority. So you need to quit disqualifying yourself based on the mantle that was given to you. And you need to recognize that it's time to create your own heritage to pass down. I don't have to pass down the alcoholism that my daddy had. I don't have to pass down that addiction to pornography. I don't have to pass down the violence, the adultery, and the divorce. That's not going to be me. That's not going to be my legacy. You don't have to lay down and die. Get up and eat and keep on your journey. What mantle are you passing down? This is the second question I want to ask you today. Whose mantle are you carrying? Whose mantle are you carrying? And I hear this a lot. You know what, Pastor Zach, you just don't know my story. You don't know the road that I've had to walk down. You don't know what I've been through. And let me just be the first to say that I don't. I don't know what you've walked through. I don't know the family that you had to grow up with, or even if you grew up with a family. I don't. But I know this, and I tell you this not to discourage you, but to encourage you. There are people out there that have had it worse off than you, that have turned their lives around because they gave it to God. There are people out there that have walked through harder things than you've walked through, that are in a better place, not because they're better than you, because they went to a God and they entrusted him to handle it. That is bigger and stronger than anything that we could bring to the table. And so I'm just going to be vulnerable with you guys for just a minute and tell you a little bit about my story and a little bit about my wife's story. And so I come from a broken family. And when I was 5 years old, it's 4 days before my fifth birthday, my 7-year-old brother died in my bed in my room. My family has been riddled with alcoholism, adultery, addiction. It goes back to my grandparents and my great-grandparents and my great-great-grandparents. When I was growing up, my parents split up all the time. My mom would move out, and she'd move back in, and she'd move out, and she'd move back in. And it was not good when they were together, and it wasn't good when they were apart. And finally, when I was 17, I was starting my senior year in high school, they got a divorce. When I probably needed more support than any other time in my life. But you know what? I determined that that was not going to define me. My wife, if any of you know my wife, she is the sweetest woman. But my wife grew up in a family riddled with drug addiction and violence. She didn't know her biological father till she was 13, and he's now in prison serving a life sentence. You'd never know that about my wife. You know why? Because she chose to not let that define her, and she gave it to God. It's not because she's better than you. It's not because I'm better than you. It's not because we have some incredible talent or skill. It's because we chose to take the things that we'd walk through and put it at the foot of the cross. And I choose that I'm not going to lean on that anymore. Like, that could define my entire life. I could spend my entire life talking about how bad my circumstances were, and that's why I'm the way that I am. But instead, I chose to give it to the Lord. And so I don't tell you this story to ask for your pity, because we don't need it. We love our life. We decided that we were going to raise a family in a home that looked a lot different than the ones that we were raised in. But I tell you this story to inspire you to the fact that you get to choose what you pass on. You get to choose it. Our home looks a lot different than it did growing up now. Why? Because we decided that it would, and we submitted to the Lord. If you're out there right now and you're hopeless, if you feel hopeless, there's a mantle waiting for you to pick up and a legacy waiting for you to create. It's will you submit to the Lord? And so there was a man when I was 17 and I was walking through that really hard time, a man by the name of David Willis. And I met David Willis and slowly started developing a relationship with him. And he taught me how to love Jesus. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to really seek the face of God in my life. He taught me how to do the things that really pulled me out of that bad emotional state that I was in. He showed me how to hear God's voice. Let me just say, what did I have to do in order to get that information? What did I have to do in order to get that relationship with David Willis? Well, I had to submit to him, right? I had to submit to him. And so I'm here today, friend, to tell you that there are men and women out there in your life that will point you to Jesus and the life that you know you're meant to live, but you've got to be willing to submit to them. And I always, anytime I read scripture in the Bible, I always play like what if in my mind. And like, so I think about the story of Elijah and Elisha. And what if Elijah had gotten a word from God and then was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go anoint Elisha. Well, we wouldn't have a story, right? Or what if when Elijah went and he threw the mantle over Elisha's shoulders, Elisha was just like, you know, I really love plowing these fields with the oxen and the equipment. I'm just going to stay here. Which he would be crazy to do that. But what if that was the case? What if that would have happened? We wouldn't have a story. So what we find is we find a man that was willing to be a spiritual father to a young man that was willing to be a spiritual son. And so here's the question for you today. Am I willing to submit and follow someone? That's the question. And I don't want to skim over this. Are you so stubborn that you won't submit to anybody? Seriously. Are you submitted to anyone in your life that you trust to encourage you and mentor you, to check you when you're acting a fool? Seriously. And a lot of you go, you know, well, Zach, I've just been hurt so much. How do I know if I can trust them? How do I know? Well, let me give you the secret. And I'm stealing this from Pastor Tim, which I do a lot of, just so you know. This is how you determine if you can trust someone. Are you ready? You just trust them. And if they let you down, then you don't trust them anymore. There's not a secret to it. It takes, in this church, in this culture that we're creating here at Higher Ridge Church, we believe the best about everybody. And we believe the best about those coming behind us and those that have gone before us. We want to believe the best. And so I want to find somebody that I connect with, And I want to trust them. That's how you do it. And so, and let me just say this: God has this person for you. There's someone in this very room, in this church, in this city, that God already has to be your mentor, to be the person that you listen to. But you got to submit to him. If you don't submit, and here's the thing, a lot of times we submit like Elisha did, where he says, hey, let me go back and kiss my mother and my father goodbye. And so this seems like a reasonable request, right? But maybe, just maybe, he was trying to stall. Like any of you guys, something new change is coming and stuff's happening and you're like, well, hold on a second. Whoa, 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 whoa. And you, so you go back to your old life and you want to hold on to those things a little bit. Here's what I need to tell you. Let your mentor mentor you. Let your mentor mentor you. It's why we don't go all in at church. It's why you sneak in the back and you leave before anybody can get a chance to talk to you. It's why we don't join groups. It's why we don't make connections. It's because we're afraid to let people into our junk because it's change and it's hard. And I'll be the first to tell you it's hard. I'm not sitting here telling you that's not hard. I'm telling you that it is hard and you still need to do it. And so we're afraid to change. Isaiah 43:19 says this. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. This is God speaking, by the way. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The new thing that you need, the very thing that you need, that you're afraid of, is the way that God is trying to make for you in the wilderness. It's the new thing. It's the stream in the wasteland. And so the last question I want to ask you today is this. Who are you passing your mantle to? Who are you passing your mantle to? In 2 Kings 2:9, the story of Elijah begins to come to an end. And so what's happening right here is he's actually about to be taken into heaven in a whirlwind. And in 2 Kings 2:9, it says this. It says, "When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?' And this is what Elisha says, and I love this. He says, 'Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit.'" Elijah had already called Elisha under him, but he was going out of his way to make sure that he was well taken care of. I love this because they'd probably spent years together at this point, but he was, before he left, "Listen, I love you so much and I really care about you. What else can I do for you to really take care of you? What else do you need from me?" And again, I want to remind you that a good man leaves an inheritance. And this is, guys, if there's nothing else that you sink your teeth into today, let it be this. And you'll notice what Elisha asked for. It wasn't wealth. It wasn't tips and tricks for this or that. And this is why. He had seen what Elijah had valued. Your children will ask for what you value. The people that you're going to raise up one day will ask for more of what they see you value. So you can preach a big game, but if you don't value the things of God, you can't expect your children to value the things of God. And so I love this. He said he asked for a double portion of his what? His spirit. And so out of everything that you could teach someone, everything, how to make money, how to change a tire, how to do your taxes, how to be a good man and a good woman, out of everything you could teach somebody, teach them to know God. To know God. Hear me when I say this as the student pastor here at High Ridge Church. I can't be solely responsible for the spiritual health of your children. This church can't be solely responsible for the spiritual health of your children. I'm not good enough to pull it off. I'm not talented enough. I'm not charismatic enough. I'm not relational enough. I'm not good enough for you to bring your kids to me once every week and for them to leave a changed kid. I need your help, Mom. I need your help, Dad. I need your help, grandparents, that you would teach them in the home how to value the things of God. How to value the things of God. Because we have children growing up and asking to inherit something other than our spirit because we never cared about our own spirit. We didn't value it. I want to challenge you with this. John Maxwell says this. He says, "There is no success without a successor." What's so interesting about the story of Elijah and Elisha is that Elijah performed 11 miracles during his lifetime. And so Elisha asked for a double portion, and Elisha performed 21 miracles. And so you say, "Well, Zach, are you marking saw that math ain't right? 11 times 2, which would be double, is 22, right?" Well, so he did 21 during his lifetime, but which a really cool story is that he actually performed his 22nd miracle after he had already died. And so in 2 Kings 13:21, and I get a, you talk about funny visualization, I'm going to help you with this. It says, "Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders." So the people are coming, they're probably going to try to beat him up, steal all their stuff, right? "So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet." So imagine, here I am, I'm burying this guy. Here comes all these bad people. I grab the body, I run over here, I throw it in here. As soon as I throw the body in, it comes to life. And so I'm going, "Aah!" I mean, I'd have been terrified, right? And so the point I want to make, though, is that even Elisha, when he was dead, left something behind. And so I want to talk to three groups of people in this room real quick. And the first group of people I want to talk to are the old farts. If you're an old fart, you know you are. You know who you are. I'm not going to talk about age. I'm not going to assign a number to this. If anyone's ever called you an old fart, you probably fit into the category, okay? So for all the old farts, you're not done yet. I need you to hear me. I don't care if you're 107 years old. You're not done yet. Like, God wants to use you just as you are, just as low energy as you are and tired, and you just want to take naps all day. Like, some of you say, "Well, you know what, Zach, I just don't have any energy anymore." Well, can I tell you what's going to energize you? Yeah. Pouring into somebody. loving on somebody, raising someone up under you. Listen, we need your stories. We need your faith. We need to hear the fact that you walked through harder times than we're walking through right now, and God did something for you. Like, we need that from you. You're not done. Get off the sidelines. Like, there is something greater in store for you. Like, oh, well, all the good old days have already come and gone. It's like, no, there's good old days waiting for you tomorrow. It's like, we need you. The church needs you. For all the young guns. Burn the oxen and the equipment and submit to somebody. We've become prideful. We think we know everything. We think that we have the keys to success. No, the people that have gone before us and that have failed, like, I would rather learn from your mistake than have to make my own. Come on, like, for real. I would rather listen to your painful, terrible story instead of having to live my own. And so, young people, let's do that. Let's find somebody that we can listen to. And for all of you in the middle that are just right, listen, you have a lot to give. You have life experience. You're raising kids right now. But you also have a lot to learn still. You have a lot to learn still. Find one of these old farts to mentor you. Okay, so in order to play your part practically, I'm going to give you two practical steps. And this is really practical. You're going to go, Zach, I know this. I know how this works. Number one, in order to play your part in being a mentor to somebody, in order to submit to somebody, number one is this: you got to know God. And I'm not talking about knowing about God. Everyone and their sister and their dog knows about God, knows about Jesus. We're in the Bible Belt. Everybody knows about it. But do you know him? Know him. I can stand up here and I can tell you all about Tim Tebow's stats. I can tell you that he went 8-7 with the Denver Broncos and had 6 game-winning touchdown drives. But I don't know him. I don't know what he had for lunch today. I don't know him personally. There's a difference. There's a very big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And you can never pass down something that you don't have. And if you don't really know God, you're not going to leave the legacy that you want to live. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 says this, and this isn't on the screen, just follow along with me. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning and knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is that he's calling you to do. That you would know him personally. So let me talk to all the married people in here real quick. If you're married, raise your hand, just real fast. How do you know your spouse? You spend time with them. You spend time with them. And so let me ask you this. When's the last time that you spent time with God? Like an actual substantial amount of time in God's presence. That you weren't so busy running and gunning that you actually slowed down and you listened to God. We know our spouse because he asked them questions. We see each other's heart. When's the last time you did that with God? And the last thing is we're intimate with our spouse. How weird would it be if every night when I went to bed, she was wearing a full body armor suit and put a stack of pillows in between us so that I couldn't touch her? That's not intimacy, but that's exactly how we treat God. Is we say, I'm going to love you from a distance, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to look really good, but I don't ever want you to actually touch the situations that I'm facing. I don't want you to ever actually touch what I'm walking through. And guys, God can already see your brokenness. Why are we hiding from him? He can already see that we're a hot mess. Like, let him see your scars. He's ready to heal you, but it's going to take vulnerability on your part to do it. So number two is this. This is really great practical advice. Get in a group. Get in a group. Here at Higher Ridge, we believe that getting in groups equals freedom, that you find freedom through accountability with other people. And so whether you have a lot to give or you need to receive, it's time to go deeper. So whether you're passing on the mantle or you need to find one, it's time to go deeper. We have group leaders that are passionate about people and that are prepared to walk with you hand in hand through all of your stuff. And let me just say this, it's hard and you don't want to do it. I get that. It is hard. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It's time to do it. James 5:16 says this, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We find healing from the life of our past and from our childhood and all the stuff that we've walked through by being accountable to someone and letting them pray over us and us being accountable. You find healing through groups and through relationship. Stop trying to do your life alone. You need to get up and eat and drink because life is too hard.
Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from Him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from Him, and He knows it, and you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer, and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.